Welcome to Falls Creek 2017. My name is Stephen Morrison, and I'm on media staff. This is week 5 of 8 weeks of Summer Youth Camp, July the 8th. This week, we have 4,091 students and adults registered full-time from 96 churches. You are listening to the Friday evening service with our guest speaker, Zane Black. During the service, there were 169 decisions, including 71 professions of faith. Enjoy.
Yeah, that's so true. Man, there's nothing greater than seeing someone's life transformed by the power of Jesus Christ. Yeah, so good. So I want to start tonight in an exciting way by opening up your Bibles to John chapter 14. 1 through 6. So as you open up your Bibles, John chapter 14, 1 through 6. I was in the morning session and just hearing what a great encouragement for us as believers to continue to persevere as we go home. And I think about it is an awesome opportunity as you guys go home to take what's happened here and spread it out there. So John chapter 14, 1 through 6, while Jesus' claim last night that we went through, the bread of life, may have been the most rattling for the disciples, this claim seems to be very offensive to many who hear it. John chapter 14, 1 through 6 says this: "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God and believe in me also," Jesus says. Then he says this: "In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you, would I have told you that I'd go to prepare a place for you? And if I go prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way that I am going," the way to where I am going. Sorry, verse 5. Thomas said, "Lord, we don't know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Verse 6, here it is. Don't miss this. Jesus says to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Verse 7, "If you had known me, you would know my Father. And from now on, you do know him and have seen him." Essentially saying, because you've seen Jesus, you've now seen the Father, because Jesus and the Father are one. And so, again, as we get ready to dive into this, man, I'm gonna pray. And I know we prayed, but I just have that immense sense of opportunity, but even responsibility as I open up God's Word again tonight for the last time together. That although it might be my words coming through this microphone, it could be God who speaks to you. And I don't know about you, but that just bakes my noodle. You know what I mean? Like, I don't even get how that even happens. All I know is that God could do that tonight. And so let's pray that he would do that, that we would walk away different, not as a result of, just Zane or False Creek, but as a result of meeting with Jesus. So, Father, we thank you for this awesome week and all that you have done, and we know that you're not finished. And so, God, that you have truth for us here tonight. So would you reveal more of who you are and who your son Jesus is to us tonight through the power of your Holy Spirit and the preaching of your word. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So the statement that Jesus makes, "I am the way, the truth, the life, no one comes to the Father but through me," this is a very narrow-minded, narrow perspective. This is a very narrow thing that Jesus is talking about. And I remember actually the first time I kind of really came into how offensive this sort of statement can be. I was living in Winter Park, Colorado, and when I had moved out there to be at the Bible school, one of the things that we'd like to do is we would go, instead of street witnessing, which street witnessing is just like you go out on the streets and you tell people about Jesus, we would have this thing we called chair lift ministry or mountain ministry. We would go out to the ski slopes and we would go two by two snowboarding and we would ride the chair lifts to tell people about Jesus. And there was a couple reasons, because at one point in my life, snowboarding was my life, but I started getting older and I wasn't doing as cool of tricks as I was before, and so like I was hanging out at the train park, which is where they have the big jumps and stuff like that, and like a couple of the kids even in the train park started calling me grandpa. That's when you know you're getting a little too old, you know. And they're like, hey grandpa, how you doing? And I'm like, oh, what's up? You call me grandpa? How's it feel to get schooled by a grandpa? Boy, you know, bust out a trick, like, what's up now? I think your mama called, is nap time. And so, snowboarding for me, it started to become less about doing the next trick and more about how can I use this as an avenue to tell people about Jesus. And the cool thing about telling people about Jesus on a chairlift is they really aren't going to go anywhere. And I timed it. On an average chairlift in Colorado, you have about 4 to 7 minutes to share your faith. And what's cool, I mean, it's a captive audience. You know, you're 60 feet in the air. So it's like, hey, bro, you got two options. You can listen to me talk about Jesus, or you can jump, and you're going to meet him face to face. So, I get on this chairlift, and I wasn't always the best at it, but I always felt a little bit extra confident when I had my one buddy with me. His name was Dallas, and Dallas was built less like a snowboarder and more like a linebacker, you know what I mean? So whenever I got paired up with Dallas, I was like, I'm feeling extra confident right now, you know? If like someone gets a little wily, I'll be like, Dallas, get him, you know? And so I was on this chairlift with Dallas, and it was me, Dallas, and these two other guys get on the chairlift, and it takes off, and I'm like, okay, how am I gonna bring up Jesus? And I kind of grab the back of the chairlift, and I like lean over, and I'm like, hey, how you guys doing? The dude looks over at me, and he goes, good. I was like, I can tell. I'm like, there's that awkward conversation. I'm like, so what are you guys doing out here? He looks down, he goes, snowboarding. I was like, me too. And I don't know, do you guys ever get in those awkward situations where you're just like, okay, this is awkward? And we developed the thing in our youth ministry, we say awkward is awesome. But not always, okay? And so sometimes you embrace it, but sometimes like, nope, this is just plain awkward. And so I was like, oh man, it's so awkward, but I'm like, I need to do something. So my friend Dallas, who we also called Heavy D, because again, I mean, he's just built thick, right? And he looks at me like, hey Zane, like chill. I don't think these guys are having it, you know? But I look across again, I'm like, I feel like I gotta say something. And so I'm like, well, are you guys out here on vacation? They're like, yep. Oh man, I'm like, so where are you from? He's like, tell me where they're from. And I'm like, well, what do you do for a living? The guy goes, I'm a construction worker. And then he finally goes, throws me a bone. He goes, what do you do? Again, awkward is not always awesome. I just said the first thing, I got so excited, it was my chance. And I go, I work at a Bible school. Do you like to read the Bible?
I
know. Pray for me, all right, you know? Still got a lot to learn too, all right? And Dallas kind of looks at me like, bro. And the dude, I don't know what happened, he flips out. He grabs the back of the chairlift, he leans over, and he's like, do you know what? I'm out here on vacation. Last thing I want to do is hear from you Christian trying to cram this stuff down my throat. So would you just shut up? As he yells at me, I'm like, whoa, Mr. Krabby Pants woke up on the wrong side of the bed. And so now Dallas looks at me like, bro, he's not having it.
But in that moment, I was just like, I feel like I gotta do something.
This is where you're like, oh, Zane, really? I don't always make good decisions. That's why my wife says we can't have nice things.
And so I leaned over, And I started talking again. And let me tell you why. The reason why is because I believe that Jesus is the way and that he's the only way. And you know, like, there is a reality, like, I probably didn't do it the best, and I didn't mean for it to happen like that, and I didn't want to make the guy so mad, but here's the reality. I know what also is at stake. Jesus says he's the way to the Father, and there is no other way. And on my heart, that just means, like, I want to risk whatever. And like, yeah, I mean, maybe I would get thrown off the lift. But Jesus is the only way to salvation. He says, I am the way. That Jesus is the only way. I was watching this YouTube, like a blog, and it was this comedy show. These guys called Penn and Teller, and Penn has this video, and maybe some of you have seen it. It's like, he's not a Christian. He actually is a self-proclaimed atheist. And he talks about one time he was at one of his comedy routines, and at the very end, like, people would come by, you know, to say hey and get an autograph or whatever, take a picture. And he said at the very end of the line, there was just this guy politely waiting. And at the very end, this guy came up to him and he said, hey, I just want to say, hey, great job at your comedy routine, but I actually wanted to give you a gift, and it was a Bible. Well, Penn, this guy, he's like, I'm an atheist. And so he's talking right into the camera on YouTube. He's like, hey, here's the deal. I'm an atheist. I don't believe there is a God. But he was like, you know what? I started to think about that guy and how important he felt it was to tell me about this God, Jesus, that he believes in. And he goes, you know, and again, he's an atheist, right? And he's like, you know, I've been thinking a lot about that. He goes, you know, I know there's some people that would say it's socially unacceptable to talk about the things of faith in public atmospheres. And he's like, but here's the deal. He goes, this guy really believes that there is a God and Jesus is the only way to that God. And so he goes, I've been thinking about it. He goes, and he says this, and it's like so powerful. He goes, if you're a Christian and you believe that Jesus is the only way to God, how much would you have to hate someone to not tell them? And he goes, again, I'm an atheist. I don't believe there is a God. But he goes, you know what? I respect that guy because he believes that Jesus is the only way and he's willing to do something about it. And I'm like, you could watch the video. He goes on. He goes, I've been thinking about it. He goes, like, if someone were, like, you know, running out into the middle of the road and I believed beyond a shadow of a doubt that there was, like, a semi speeding towards them, I would yell, I would scream, and at some point, I'm going to tackle them. And he was like, man, how much more if you're a Christian and you believe the only way to eternal salvation is through Jesus. How much would you be willing to risk? That challenged me. Because, and for me, it's just the reality that I talked about it the other night, that Jesus spoke about the truth of judgment and that he's the only way to the Father. He's the only way out of an eternal judgment that will end up in an eternal separation from God forever. And here's the deal. I don't like talking about that, but man, it wouldn't be loving if I didn't warn you about the reality that if you do not know Jesus, one day you will be separated from him forever in a place called hell. And it's not popular to talk about it. I personally, I get sick even thinking about it. I like to be the funny guy. I'd rather just tell jokes and have you guys laugh and we sing Kumbaya or something at the end. But here's the reality. As I've gotten to go around camp and as I've gotten to see faces and know names and eat amazing food at cabins, I've grown to love you guys. And it would not be loving for me to not tell you of if you don't know Jesus, one day you'll be separated from him forever. And it'd be far worse than we could ever imagine in a real place called hell. And Jesus, when he says that he's the way, he's saying he's the way out of that. You know what? I mean, just the thing about Jesus is there's more written about Jesus than any other human throughout all of history. So if you're a person who you're like, well, but how do you know Jesus is the way? Well, just check out just a couple things about Jesus. Do you know that like the fact that Jesus was a real human and really said things about him being the way to God is like not debated. I mean, there's more written about him than any other human figure throughout all history. I mean, think about even our dates are split in two by this one man, Jesus, B.C. and A.D. Like every day you mark, or every year you mark a new calendar year on your calendar, it's because of this man, Jesus, that you write, you know, 2017, you're celebrating the difference of B.C. and A.D., you know, before Christ came and after he has come. I mean, this is like, it's a pivotal point in world history. And one guy, C.S. Lewis, says Jesus claimed to be God. And so some people say, well, I think he was maybe just a good person. Get this, he doesn't give us that option because Jesus claimed, right here, we just read it, to be God and the only way to God. Therefore, C.S. Lewis says he's either got to be a liar, he's got to be a lunatic, or he is Lord. What's he mean by that? Well, if Jesus wasn't who he says he was, then he's a liar. He's a liar, and he's led billions actually of people astray because he claimed to be the way to God. So if he's not, then he's a liar. Or maybe he's just a lunatic. Maybe he was just some madman who lost his mind and he said these things about the only way to God. But man, he's not even worthy of being worshipped. He should be pitied because he's led billions of people astray. He's either a liar, he's a lunatic, or he is who he says he is. You can't just say, well, Jesus was a nice teacher. A nice teacher that claimed to be the only way to God? He'd get kicked out of your school. I'd call him a madman. Imagine your teacher stood up and said, hey, here's the deal, class. I'd like you all to know that I am God, and I'm the only way to God. Follow me, because I'm the way. He'd be like, that dude is a Fruit Loop, you know? But Jesus backed up those statements by living a miraculous life, by conquering death when he died on the cross and raising to new life, proving that he is who he says he is. And then get this, Christians, when Jesus says, for the Christians, when he says that I am the way, this is not Jesus giving us a method to live by. Jesus is saying, I am the one, that the only way that we can live the Christian life is through Christ. And many Christians will believe in Jesus, but then they will try and follow Jesus in their own way. And what do I mean by that? They'll still read their Bible, say their prayers, and do these Christian things, but they miss Jesus as the way. You see, he doesn't want to just give us a method or a set of rules to live by. He gives us himself. That there is no way to the Christian life, and I know this is maybe a little bit heavy, but other than Jesus, he's the way for you to live the Christian life. You cannot do it on your own strength. I hope you hear this clearly. Jesus is not a set of standards for us to try and imitate. Jesus is our Savior, and he gives us himself in order that we may live through him as the way. This changes everything. So it's no longer according to your own strength that you live. It's no longer according to just trying to attain to the set of rules or standards, because Jesus is not a standard. He wants to be our strength, our very means through which we live the Christian life. So anyways, I'm on this chairlift, you know, and I'm like, okay, I'm gonna go for it again. Again, do you guys ever have those moments where you say something and you're like, I wish I could get those words back in my mouth? Do you ever hear, you like say it and you're like, blah, you know, like words get back in my mouth, right? I don't know what it is, but like my dad always was like, Zane, you need to think before you speak. My dad said that I had diarrhea of the mouth and constipation of the brain. You know, he's like, bro, it's just, blah. Like, you need to work on that, you know? So I just said the first thing and I don't know what I was thinking, but I looked over at the dude and I was like, excuse me. And he like looks over and I was like, when you were little, did you ever chase after rainbows looking for the pot of gold?
It's like as they're coming out of my mouth, I'm like, what are you saying? You know, I'm like, do you believe in leprechauns? I don't know where I'm going with this, right? I think I was trying to make an illustration or trying to sound funny, and I just lost. Heavy D looks at me and he's like, Zane, I'm about to throw you off this chairlift right now, you know? And I'm like, oh, man. And in that moment, you know, I don't know, I was just trying to be funny or something, and I switched from trying to be funny, and I just started talking about Jesus, and I started speaking to this guy about how Jesus changed my life. And I mean, at this point, like, right, the dude was about to throw me off when I said I like to read the Bible. Now I just talked about leprechauns and rainbows, you know, and now I'm just straight into the gospel. And Heavy D, he's like, bro, I don't even know what's gonna happen, and I'm gonna let it happen, right? Like, you get thrown off, you're bad, bro. And so I just lay out the gospel, and as I do, I realize, you know what? It is the good news, the gospel truth about Jesus that brings people to salvation. That like when I spoke about Jesus, there was power because Jesus is the truth about God. And it was awesome. I mean, I get to the end and it was like, you know, I laid out the gospel. The dude grabs the back of the chairlift. He leans over and he goes, that's awesome. And I was like, it is? I mean, it is. And in that moment, it was like, wow. This Jesus is the truth about God. And I think many people have heard false presentations about Jesus. But you see, Jesus is the truth. He is the way that we get to understand who God is. That Jesus is the greatest thing that God ever spoke. That like the name of Jesus is how we get to understand who God is. So as we continue, not just to read the Bible is true, but the Bible is not the end goal. Jesus is the end goal. So when Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, he's saying, hey, this is an awesome book that's gonna be able, it's written by God, spoke by him, but here's the deal. This isn't the end goal. This is how you get to know Jesus. Jesus is the truth about God. This is why it says in John 5, 39 through 40, he says, you diligently study the scriptures, John 5, 39 through 40, you diligently study the scriptures because you think that by them you possess eternal life. But he says, these scriptures are those that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me that you may have eternal life. So in the person of Jesus is how we get to know the character of God. So when we look to him and we read about him, we understand that is he who leads us to the Father. He's the truth about God. And John 8:32, it says this, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. It's not through understanding facts. It's not through knowing theology. It's not acquiring more head knowledge, but it's knowing Jesus. So Christians, as you get ready to go from here, like Jesus is the truth. He is the way. But then it finishes, he is the life. And in that midst of that conversation with the dude on the chairlift, he says like, man, that's awesome. Now there's this crazy thing, and I don't even know how to explain this, but I'll just tell you how it goes. So when I've had the opportunity to tell people about Jesus on the chairlift, there's one thing that has, like, without fail, always happened, and that is, like, after the chairlift takes off and after I start telling the person about Jesus, the chairlift will stop. And I take it for me personally, like, God's giving me more time to tell them about Jesus. And so like, well, I'll start the conversation about Jesus and then the chairlift stops. I mean, it's the wildest thing ever. I wish I had enough confidence and faith in the Lord to like after the chairlift take off, you know, like halfway up the thing, like, hey dude, here's the deal. I'm gonna start telling you about Jesus. And when I do, the chairlift's gonna stop. Bzzz, be like, so what do you think?
but I never got to that point. You know, I don't have like that amount of faith yet, or maybe it's just more, you know, personally for me. And so literally the chairlift stops. This guy and I end up having this amazing conversation. We get to the end of the chairlift. The dude comes over and just gives me one of those big old bro hugs, you know? And you know the bro hugs too. You still like pat each other's back, you know? You're like, I'm still a dude, but I'll hug you, right? You know, you give him the like the bro tap, but like you give him a hug. And he gives me this big old bro hug. And Dallas is watching this. He's like, what is going on? And I'm like, I don't know. And then all of a sudden in that moment, like, you know, we kind of back off and he's like, man, he looks at me and he goes, I've never heard about Jesus like that. And he's like, thanks so much for sharing with me. And then he goes, I'm sorry, man. I flipped out on you. I wasn't, oh no, man, that's all right. I'm sorry for talking about leprechauns and rainbows. Maybe I just watched too many YouTube videos. You know, double rainbow. I'm like, my bad, bro. And he goes, yeah, what was that about? And I was like, I don't know. And then all of a sudden, in that moment, it was like, I felt like God gave me the words. And I wish I could have planned it, but I'm not that smart. I was like, hey, do you know what it was like? And I had told him a bit of my story. And I said, actually, I feel like for much of my life, it was like I was chasing after a rainbow, looking for a pot of gold at the end. But you know how it goes. The harder you run, the farther it goes away. You can never catch a rainbow. But you know what? I feel like when I became a Christian, it was like I found the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, and now I got this great gift that I just want to like give away and give away and give it away. And so it's like no matter how much I give away, like the pot of gold never runs out. And so I'm just like so pumped, man. I didn't mean to offend you. I didn't mean to hurt you, but like I feel like I have this great gift that I just want to give out. And he was like, wow, that actually does make sense. I was like, I wish I made that up, but I don't know where that came from. And here's the deal. I think that's what Jesus is speaking about when he says, I am the life. He's like, I am the abundance that you've been longing for. You've been looking in all these other places. Solomon, like we read the other night, like chasing after the wind. You can't catch it when you look in these other things. But it is only in the person of Jesus that you find the fullness of life. And Christians, Jesus is the Christian life. Check out this verse. Romans 5:10. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Oh man, this is so powerful. How much more now that we are reconciled, just so you know, it means like brought back to a relationship with God. So we've been brought back. So how much more after we've been reconciled, brought back because of his death, get this, shall we be saved by his life? Do you know what? The Christian life isn't difficult. It's impossible. You cannot live it on your own strength. There is no way that you are going to be able to live out the call of God on your own. It takes Jesus becoming your life. This is why Paul says in Galatians 2:20, he says, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who lives, but it's Christ who lives in me. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So it is the life of Christ. And I know for some of this, it's like, it's baking your noodle right now. You're like, whoa, dude, what does that even look like? Here's what it looks like. It looks like you every day saying, God, I can't, but you can. You see, the Christian life isn't really about being strong, at least in your own strength. It often looks like weakness, because when we are weak, then he is able to be strong through us. So if you're not a Christian and you're like, man, I feel like I'm too weak to be a Christian, man, come join the club. So are we. We aren't those who are like got it all together. We are those who just say we're broken and come in and allow Jesus to fix those broken pieces and then work through you, and that he uses your weakness. And so I believe Christ is the Christian life. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. And I think there are many Christians who come to Christ, they believe in him, but then they begin to live life on their own efforts. And that's why they've been frustrated. That's why they continue to struggle with sin. They continue to fail. They don't have any joy. They're frustrated, and they're lacking what Jesus longs to give them. The empowerment through his Holy Spirit, that he would be the way you live the Christian life. He would be the truth about the Christian life. He would be the Christian life. And so, I don't know if this makes sense, because I know maybe it will make sense. I don't know. But it's like, imagine if you were living in Oklahoma. So we got some Oklahoma people in here representing. Okay. Or imagine if you were living in Texas, okay? All right. Or Louisiana. I know we got some Louisiana people here. Missouri. We got some Missouri people. I don't know. I'm leaving out some states. Imagine. Awesome. Imagine you live somewhere really hot, okay? And you guys know hot because it gets hot here, right? So imagine you're living in the desert and you hear about snowboarding. And you're like, snowboarding? I want to learn how to snowboard, right? And you're like, this is cool. And so, you know, you're on your Instagram and you're like seeing all these cool pictures of snowboarding. And you're like, dude, I'm going to start training to snowboard, right? And so you start, you download a new snowboard training app, right? And so you start doing these exercises, you know, and you start practicing jumps and spins. You even order a trampoline. If you like really want to train snowboarding, you need a trampoline. So you're practicing. You even learn how to do flips, and you can do 360s and doing all these crazy things. Are you yet a snowboarder? No, okay. So then you're like, all right, I know what I need to do. I need to get some snowboarding magazines. So you subscribe to Snowboarder Magazine, and then you get some snowboarding DVDs, and you're watching all the latest snowboarding films. Are you a snowboarder? No, okay. So then you're like, I know what I'm gonna do. I need the gear. So you get a hat, you get the goggles, you get the jacket, and now, I mean, you're hot, right? Because you're in the sun, you're in the desert. You get the pants, and you're like, and you're in your room. Are you a snowboarder? No, but you're like, I know, dude, we got some sand out back on this big hill. And so you get a board and you go out with your hat and your goggles and your jacket, which looks pretty funny, and you ride down the sand hill. Are you a snowboarder? No. Now you're a sandboarder. Okay, thanks. Then you go, I know what's happening. And you fly out to Winter Park, Colorado. We even meet up. And you strap in up the top of the slopes, and you turn and point your board down the mountain, and you begin to ride. Are you now a snowboarder? Yes, and then you fall. You know, welcome to snowboarding, all right? But here's the deal, it didn't matter that you fall, it didn't matter how good you were, it mattered that what? You needed snow to be a snowboarder. And here's the deal, you need Christ to be a Christian. And I've had a great time with you guys. I've had so much fun and worshiping and learning and taking notes. And I would hate if you left this place and you just learned about how to act better. You got a Bible with your name in it and you could underline verses. You learned some new phrases to a new song. You became a part of a group, a youth group. But if you miss Jesus, then you've missed life. You've missed the truth about who God is, and you've missed the only way to heaven. And so as I started this week, I want to ask you real simply, do you know Jesus? Now, do you know about him? Now, can you repeat things that you've learned? But do you know him? Have you entered into a relationship? I'm not asking if you're like really good at that. I'm not asking how well you do. I'm just simple. Do you know him? John 17, verse 3. This is eternal life, to know God. So I'm going to have everybody stand up in here.